Merry Christmas. It's a great joy to see everyone this evening. We should say a quick prayer because we don't want the fire department showing up between the smoke and the large numbers in the house, you know. Hopefully they won't show up. But today we celebrate the great feast of the incarnation of the Lord, the birth of our Savior. And what a glorious feast this is. We hear in the beginning of the gospel how Caesar Augustus called for a census of the entire Roman Empire. How amazing is this? Because God uses Caesar's power in calling all of the people to go back to their hometowns to fulfill a prophecy that was made through the prophet Micah. When it was prophesied that Bethlehem would be the place of the birth of our Savior. What a powerful lesson there is there for us, that God can use anything to bring about His will and His purpose in our lives. And we hear that they go to the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a Hebrew word which means house of bread. House of bread. And Christ is taken to Bethlehem, as we know, and he's born in a manger. He's placed in a feeding trough where animals go to eat. Just imagine, God himself comes to visit us in the flesh, and he has to rest with animals. And yet there's a beautiful foreshadowing there, because Christ has come into the world to give himself, his very life, as a ransom for many. Fulton Sheen said that while most people come into the world to live, Christ comes into the world to die, to lay down his life. And so already, as he's placed in the manger as a little child, we can see the shadow of the cross. That Jesus' life, from the very beginning, is moving towards Calvary to be our Savior. And from the very beginning, he begins to suffer and to offer himself in love for us. And of course, every time you and I come to the Holy Mass, the mystery of Bethlehem is made present for us once again. Because there the Word was made flesh. And on every Catholic altar, in every Catholic Mass, once again, the Son of God comes down from heaven as he gives his very flesh, his very body, blood, soul, and divinity to feed us, to strengthen us with his presence and with his love for us. We also hear, though, that there's no room for Jesus or the Holy Family in the inn. Joseph had gone from door to door to find shelter for Mary, who's in her third trimester of pregnancy. And everywhere they go, they're turned away. Now, there's an important message for all of us. Are we making room in our hearts for Christ? Are we opening up a place for him to come and dwell with his presence and with his grace in our lives? You see, there's a story of St. Jerome. St. Jerome was a church father, and he was responsible for translating the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures into Latin. And he finished his project, which took him over 25 years, on Christmas Day. So he went before the creche, the nativity scene, and he offered this work of having translated the Bible, having spent 25 years translating the Bible, he offered it to the baby Jesus as his Christmas gift. And the baby Jesus actually appeared to him in a vision and told him, "Thank you, but no thank you." Could you imagine 25 years of your life spent on this gift, and the Lord says, "Thank you, but no thank you"? Jesus told him, "That's not what I want for Christmas." He said, this is what I want. Give me your sins, Jerome. Give me your sins as your gift to me. Give me your sins. To think, all of us have been in the hustle and bustle of December, buying Christmas presents and, you know, going through the mall and having to fight the crowds of people. Somebody said today is like Black Friday in the Catholic Church, you know, just trying to get a spot in the church, you know. But none of you use pepper spray, so that's good. But we've been about the business of buying our gifts. But have we paused to ask, what is the gift that we can give to the Christ child? I want to propose it's the gift that Jesus asked from St. Jerome. Give me your sins. How can it be a gift for us to give God our sins, though? It seems like a rather strange thing to offer someone. I'll give you my sins as a gift for you. Well, of course, our sins aren't in themselves the gift. But the gift is letting our Savior do in us what he came to do. And he came to be our Savior, to take away our sins. And when you think of it in that light, you can realize that's the best gift we can give to Christ, is to give him our sins. At the end of the gospel, we heard the angels proclaiming, I bring to you a message of great joy, that today is born Christ our Savior. And the shepherds who heard this message, they ran to the manger to encounter the Christ child, to do him homage. But none of us, if we truly encounter Christ, can walk away unchanged. We all, as Christians, have the responsibility to go forth from the church and to tell the world, I bring to you a message of great joy. This is the message that our world needs to hear today. A world that's so filled with violence and hatred and animosity for one another. Is there a better time for us to bring the good news of a Savior who brings hope and joy and love to a world so often filled with darkness? Because, as we hear in Acts of the Apostles, there's no other name besides the name of Jesus in which men can hope to be saved. If we truly come to know the joy of Christ being our Savior, the joy of experiencing his love, that joy can't be kept to ourselves, brothers and sisters, can it? Joy radiates, bubbles out of us. It has to be shared with others. And like I said in my homily on Gaudete Sunday, this joy comes from knowing how much God loves us. So as we pray this Holy Mass together, we celebrate this beautiful feast. I invite you, during the time after communion, to close your eyes and in your prayer to hold the Christ child in your arms. To hold the baby Jesus, the Savior born for each of us. To offer him your sins as your gift, and to discover the joy of being loved by God. Merry Christmas, and praise be Jesus Christ.